With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Son of a Butch podcast. I'm your host, Claude Harmon. I'll be the guest today, obviously. Just got back from the PGA Championship, and what an amazing week. I think it was a pretty important week in Brooks Koepka's career, certainly after what happened at the Masters, where he wasn't able to close, and he's been a closer his entire career. Unfortunately, he didn't get it done at Augusta, but at Oak Hill, he got it done. And, it was a really, really interesting week. That is a big boy golf course. And that's another thing. I mean, obviously that's Brooks's fifth major, which puts him in very, very elite company. But if you look at the golf courses, Erin Hills, everybody says it was an easy golf course. It was a bomber's paradise. And yeah, I'll take a little bit of that. But if you look at the rest of the golf courses that Brooks has won majors on, Shinnecock, Bethpage, Belrive is kind of old school. And then Oak Hill, which is very, very old school. He wins on really, really difficult golf courses. And I think that's another big part of the story is his game rises to really, really difficult challenges. Oak Hill was a tough golf course before the redesign. They did a redesign. They took out a lot of trees. I've been there. I was there in '89. I was there in 2005, '89 for the US Open, 2005 for the Ryder Cup, and then in 13 for the last PGA. I like the changes. I think they did a really good job. There is this kind of, I don't want to call it a fad, but there is definitely a move towards going to these old golf courses and trying to take out a lot of the trees that have grown up. So I guess they're trying to take the golf courses back to where they were originally designed, because obviously if something was designed 40, 50 years ago, the trees that they were planting then are different than the ones and the amount of vegetation they'll have now. But I like the redesign. I thought the sixth hole was just brutal. It's just a tough golf course, tough hole. But I do think the players that I talked to, everyone said they don't mind it. I don't think professional golfers dislike it being hard. And I thought Oak Hill was very, very fair. But it is a tough test. And it's just, there are stretches of holes where you know that that's the time to make your score, because you know coming in, you're going to go through a stretch of holes where you're just going to have to hang on. So, it was an interesting week for Brooks. Thursday, practice rounds, he was fine. He played good the week before in Tulsa, didn't putt great. I think if he putts at all in Tulsa, the week before, where he was playing on LIV, he probably could have gotten into the playoff with DJ and Gracie and Cam Smith. Didn't get it done, and we didn't do a ton of work at Oak Hill. We kind of paced ourselves. It's been a long run for Brooks. You can tell that he's a little bit tired, and so we didn't grind a ton. Golf swing wise, he's hitting it good. He's been hitting it good for a while now. Thursday, Thursday was what won him the golf tournament, and that was the worst round he had. He did not play well. Warm-ups were good, but he just got on the golf course, didn't play good. As soon as he got done, we went straight to the range. He said that he felt his hands had kind of gotten a little bit back at address. And he kind of was missing it, both ways. Hit some really wide shots on Thursday, but there was zero panic There was like no panic. And I found that quite interesting, that I think when a player plays poorly, but they know they're playing good, there isn't this sense of panic. So we went to the range after Thursday's round for about 20 minutes, hit some balls, got his setup. Everything in Brooks's golf swing tends to be, when he gets off, the issues tend to be setup related issues. His hands get too far back, ball position gets too far back, alignment gets off. So a lot of what I do over the course of my time with Brooks is we do a lot of work on the basics. And listen, in 2023, basics aren't real sexy right now. Grip, stance, posture, alignment. No one's making Instagram videos on grip, stance, posture, and alignment. They're making them on laying the shaft down and all the cool stuff that all the cool kids are doing right now. But I think you would be surprised at, for the best players in the world, when their alignment, when their ball position, when the basics of what they're doing before they hit a golf ball get off, because they've got so much speed, because they've got so much power, because they hit the golf ball so solid, they can hit the golf ball a long way offline. So when Brooks's basics get out of whack, he can shoot some bad scores and hit some bad shots. So I was really happy that that's all it really was. He didn't panic. He knows he's hitting it good. His hands got a little bit back. He kind of felt that on the golf course. We went to the range, and then he looked at Ricky Elliott and I and looked us right, both of us looked right at us and said, "I won't play bad again this week." And there have been times where Brooks has said that before. And normally when he says something like that and the way that he says it and the conviction that he says it with, you tend to believe him. He played really good on Friday, came straight off the golf course. And as he was walking from 18 into scoring, he just had this look on his face. And he looked at me and he said, "I told you, I'm not going to play bad again." I think he learned a lot at Augusta from not getting it done on Sunday. And I think last week, and I think Sunday was a massive, massive day for Brooks in his career. He has been an alpha in the major championships. There was a time where it seemed like to a lot of people that he had somewhat cracked the code in majors just because he was winning them so much and so often. So I think to come back and shoot three rounds in the 60s, get himself back in the golf tournament on Friday. The conditions on Saturday were not good. I mean, it was raining. It was cold. You knew if you hit the golf ball offline, you were going to get it into the thick rough that was already penal, and then it was wet. And he went out on Saturday and shot another really good score. And you could just see this kind of momentum building. But Sunday, I got to be honest, Sunday, he was a little jumpy in his warm-up. He didn't feel like he was hitting it that great. I know he said to Pete Cowan that he didn't feel like his golf swing was great. But by the time you get to Sunday on a major championship, what you have is what you have golf swing-wise. I think Brooks was trying to, I think he was probably a little bit nervous. I think he was, looking for perfection, which is tough to have. The warm-up that he had on before the final round on Sunday at Augusta made the warm-up that he had at Oak Hill on Sunday. I mean, it was like black and white. He never missed a shot on Sunday at Augusta in his warm-up. It was one of the best warm-ups I've ever seen him have. Complete control, ability to do whatever he wanted with the golf ball, but just total control over what he was doing, and went out and didn't play the way he wanted to, didn't get the job done. I think getting off to the start that he got off to on Sunday was so important. Hit it to 16 feet on the first, 4 feet on the second, 4 feet on the third, 4 feet on the, or 9 feet on the fourth. So he's hitting it inside of 10 feet on three of the holes and right around 15 feet on the other one. That's a statement. I think everybody was looking on Sunday, specifically the guys that were around Brooks on the leaderboard. He took a one-shot lead, but I think you're looking to see, okay, which Brooks is going to show up? Is it the Brooks from, 2017, 18, and 19, where he was winning majors on a regular basis? Or were we going to get on Sunday the Masters 2023 Brooks, where he didn't get the job done on Sunday. So I thought getting off to that start, hitting those type of shots early, certainly kind of put him in a little bit of a, I wouldn't say relaxed, but I definitely think at one point early, he had a two or three shot lead. So your mindset is very, very different. The sixth hole, which I referenced, such a difficult, difficult hole. He had a poor drive, but somehow managed to make a bogey. And you know, the 8 years I worked with Brooks previously and, you know, back together with him now, one of the mantras we had as a team for the major championships were, don't make any double bogeys. Bogeys are fine. You can survive making bogeys. Making double bogeys in major championships are very, very tough to overcome. Making double bogeys when you have the lead and you're in a major championship on Sunday, you throw a double in the mix early. It normally doesn't fare well. It kind of lets the field know that, hey, there might be some chinks in the armor. So I think the par that he was able to make there, or the bogey that he was able to make there, was huge, because he's staring, making double right in the face. I think he knew that Victor Hovland was playing well. Vic, I can't say enough about how good this kid is. He is legit. He is elite. His ball striking is as good as anybody. And, you know, the work that he's done recently with Joe Mayo on a short game has paid dividends. I mean, you know, we all kind of have seen Victor struggle around the greens. For a good player, he has struggled a lot. And it was great to see him. Now, I do think that the way the rough was set up at Oak Hill, very penal, very much old school kind of U.S. Open, Northeast kind of thick, thick rough. I actually think that helps Victor because it takes, there's no creativity at that point. You're not trying to figure out what shot you're going to hit, what type of shot you're going to try and play. You just basically have, it's thick rough. You just have to beat down on it and grind it out and just get it on the green and run it to the hole. There isn't a lot of nuance. There isn't a lot of skill. So in that respect, I think it was helpful to be on that type of golf course. But listen, Victor Hovland is going to have chances to win major championships moving forward. I'd be shocked if he doesn't win one. He's got that type of talent. He and his caddy, Shay Knight, I think they're one of the best teams on the PGA Tour, and I am a huge, huge Victor Hovland fan. So great to see him play well, and he will have more chances, and I definitely think there is a major in his future. But, you know, Brooks somehow makes bogey and then, you know, made a couple putts when he needed to. But to me, the game changer for him was 13 par 5, where he's looking at, you know, definitely making birdie, and had to hole a pretty dicey, quick downhill left to right putt. And you know, if you're going to win a major championship, there's always going to be one of those putts from 10, 12 feet that is for par. And if you want to win the golf tournament, you're going to have to make it to win the golf tournament. And he stands up on 14 and just hits an unbelievable drive and, you know, closes the door at 16. I thought the drive that he hit on 18 showed a lot of guts. He didn't have to hit driver there with a lead. He could have easily hit something else and had a longer iron, but I think it's a testament to how he was playing and how much confidence he had in what he was doing. He has this knack, I'm around him a lot and have been around him a lot for the last 10 years. And Brooks just, he likes major championships. And trust me, anybody that tells you that they like major championships, they're probably not telling you the truth. But Brooks, he really does like them. He likes the pressure. He likes the, you know, all of the things that he knows that you're going to have to do to win one. He knows that you're going to have to go through a lot. It's going to get tough. It's going to get dirty. It's going to get messy. It's going to get ugly to win a major championship. And some guys like that and some guys don't. He is one of those players that just really, really, really likes it. He likes it when the pressure is the toughest. He's now won 14% of the majors he's played in, and in 50% of the majors he's played in, he's finished inside the top 10. Those are just numbers that we just aren't used to seeing from one person specifically in the majors. I mean, I guess you could say, you know, we saw that from Tiger, but of the modern generation, you know, Rory McIlroy won his last major when Brooks had won none. And in 2014, if I told you that Rory McIlroy is going to have four majors and Brooks Koepka would have more majors than him, I just don't think anyone would believe it, because that's how great Rory McIlroy is. That is how dominant a golfer he is and can be. So I think Brooks now with five, I think a lot of people are trying to figure out where to put this win with all the live stuff going on, with the debate. I think moving forward, hopefully, I think it's a fantastic thing for the game of golf that somebody from LIV won a major, because I think it's an opportunity for us to just go back to talking about golf. I mean, can we just go back to talking about golf and not politics and all of the other stuff that, you know, people seem to want to talk about? I mean, it's just, you know, these guys are golfers, right? Brooks is a professional golfer And if he's healthy, which he is, it is so naive to think that he's not going to be a great player. He's not going to be a dominant player in the majors, because that's what he was. You know, a lot of the reporters afterwards were asking me, were you surprised by any of this? And I'm like, the only people that are surprised by this are the people in the media that have been anti-LIV, that haven't gone to any of the tournaments and haven't watched any of the LIV tournaments, and, you know, like to pretend that it's a 54-hole exhibition, and, you know, everybody that plays on that tour is, you know, hurting their career because they're not playing on the PGA Tour and they're not playing in 72 holes. I think that whole narrative now, we had another major where there were LIV players. Bryson played good last week, had a great showing. Cam Smith had a great final round on Sunday. It's golf. These are professional golfers. It doesn't really matter where they play. And I think anyone that thought that these guys just weren't going to be able to continue to play in major championships on the biggest stage, to me, for a lot of people, they were hoping that for their own agendas, whatever those agendas are. But I think the last two majors have clearly shown that the players that went to LIV, they were great players when they went there, and they're still great players. If you don't agree with LIV for political reasons, if you don't like the format, that's fine. I mean, everyone is entitled to their own opinion. But the fact is that in two major championships, you know, one has been won by a guy that went to LIV, and the Masters was almost won by a guy that went to LIV. And, you know, someone who has been a anti-LIV punching bag, Siwon Kim. Siwon Kim made the cut, played good, and beat a lot of people that play 72 holes and play on the PGA Tour and all that. So, I mean, to me, it's all bullshit, right? This is golf. Professional golfers, I don't care where you're playing professional golf. I don't care if you're playing on the PGA Tour. I don't care if you're playing on the LPGA, DP World, Asia, South Africa, Champs Tour, and LIV as well. If you are playing on a professional tour and you are winning on a professional tour, then your game is going in the right direction. And, you know, Brooks Koepka's won three of the last, I'm trying to think, since he won in Jeddah. So won in Jeddah. His team had a chance to win the team championship in Miami at the LIV finale. So then he played Saudi Arabia. Then missed the cut in an Asian tour event in Oman that all the anti-LIV people jumped all over. And, you know, and then has played pretty good the last month. So it doesn't matter, in my opinion, it doesn't matter where you're playing or where you're winning. If you are winning, then don't be surprised if you play in a, you see guys play in a tournament and have a chance to win. I mean, we see that all the time. We have seen for years. I mean, look at Tom Kim, right? I mean, Tom Kim is the new darling of the PGA Tour, right? And I think he's a superstar. I mean, I really do. I love this kid. I thought, you know, last week him falling in the water and all of that, that is just who he is, right? You could see the progression that Tom had of playing in Asia, then playing some European starts. He started having some confidence. He started winning some tournaments. And now he's one of the legit players. So I just, this narrative that because the golf is being played on LIV, it's no good and you're not going to be any good because you went to LIV. I think if that's what you've been pushing and you still believe that, then I feel sorry for you because I think that you're doing it for your own reasons because it's not the truth.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you don't like LIV and you don't like the players that went there, that's fine. That's, you got the right to do that. But to try and portray these guys as being bums, to me, that's the thing that upsets me the most. And, you know, I was pretty vocal with some of the media. There's an article of Golf Week that came out. And listen, I think there has been a segment of the golf media that has been fiercely, fiercely anti-LIV. And the stuff they wrote, the things they said, I think it hurt a lot of guys that went to LIV. And you know, you've got these players that had great careers. I mean, to me, the easiest example is you've got Henrik Stenson, right? Henrik Stenson won the FedEx Cup, won the Players' Championship, won a major, an iconic major down the stretch with Phil Mickelson, one of the great all-time majors, stalwart of the European Tour, of the Euro Ryder Cup team. And based off of all of that criteria, they anoint him as the Ryder Cup captain. That's what happens when you do what Henrik Stenson's done and you played your golf in Europe. They make you a Ryder Cup captain when you have that type of resume. The day he goes to LIV, bum, insignificant, was never any good. And I'm like, the day before he made the decision to go to LIV, he was the Ryder Cup captain. So in one day, everything that he did was just a bum. I just don't get it. And maybe, listen, maybe my view is a little bit skewed because I've been involved with LIV for the last 6, 7, 8 months. All of my players went there. But I was part of the PGA Tour's ecosystem for 20-something years. I was part of the European Tour for a number of years when I worked there. I've seen what those ecosystems are like. I've seen what those tours are like. I know how they work. I know how they run. All of those things. So I said this. I'm pro-LIV because I am pro-professional athlete. I am pro-professional golfer. I think that professional golfers should have the same opportunities that every other athlete in professional sports has. And there are players that get big contracts in every sport. And I just don't fundamentally understand why there is this continued want to have golf be like the Truman Show, like this utopian Truman Show type thing in the 50s and the 60s, and where everything is just perfect and nothing bad ever happens, and not, you know, everything's just like it used to be. I personally don't want to be a part of a sport like that. I really don't. I don't want to be a part of a sport that's constantly looking backwards. I think the game of golf in 2023 is in an amazing place. I think we have some of the best golfers in a very, very long time. I mean, if you look at the players playing all over the world, on the men's side, on the women's side, the caliber of golfers, the depth of golfers, it's staggering. It's tremendous. I think you know, I think we are so lucky right now to be seeing the golf that John Rahm is playing, the golf that Scottie Scheffler has been playing, and all of these new kind of stars that are coming up. I mentioned Tom Kim, Max Homa. You can keep finding players, right? And you can find them on every tour. There's great players playing in Europe right now. There's great players playing in Asia right now. I think the LPGA is going through an amazing period of great play. And I think from the men's side, just because guys went to live, it doesn't mean that they can't play golf. It doesn't mean that they're not going to continue to be good players. And I'm glad that Brooks, personally, obviously I work with Brooks, but I'm glad that somebody from LIV won a major, because hopefully we can all just get back to realizing that this is just golf. These are just athletes. They're playing a sport. They're playing a sport with a ball and a stick. They give you a scorecard and you're trying to put the lowest score on the scorecard as you can. And I don't care where you play. That's what everybody is trying to do. So I think Brooks Koepka's win, him getting his fifth major, I think the way that he won his fifth major, I think is good for golf. And I think it's good for golf. I'm very, very glad that somebody from LIV won one of the LIV guys would win one of the four majors, because I think that that's the way that all of this craziness starts to unravel. Brooks is now second in the U.S. Ryder Cup points list. If you haven't seen Brad Faxon and Eamon Lynch talking about the Ryder Cup, you can find it on social. I thought Fax did a fantastic job of saying, hey, they're playing golf. And that's what this is. But I do think now that Brooks is in a rare position now, because he's young, he's healthy. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised if Brooks continues to win majors. He's just that good. And when he's healthy and when he's swinging the way he's swinging and playing the way he's playing, he can dominate. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he has legit back nine chances in LA at the US Open and at Liverpool for the Open Championship. I mean, that's what I know he expects. Those of us on his team, we expect that as well. I just can't say enough about the team that Brooks has around him. Last week, Ricky Elliott, who's been on his bag, that was the 10-year anniversary. They've switched the dates for the majors. The PGA used to be the last major in August. Now it's in May. But that was the 10-year anniversary of when Ricky and Brooks first started. They started at the PGA in 2013. I think Ricky Elliott is one of the best caddies on the planet, in the game. I'd known Ricky for a long time. And, you know, I thought he would be a perfect fit for Brooks. And, you know, I told Brooks, listen, he was turning, you know, he was coming to the States, was going to play. I said, listen, I think Ricky Elliott would be the perfect caddy for you. It's funny, my dad in 2013, he walked a couple holes with us. And afterwards he said, man, that Brooks is really impressive. Hey, we need to get him a real caddy. I said, we've got him a real caddy. The real caddy is Ricky Elliott. And he goes, no, he needs a veteran. He needs a veteran caddy. And I'm like, he doesn't need a veteran caddy. He has the perfect guy for him. And I think I was right. I think the job that Ricky and Brooks do on the golf course, I think the relationship they have off the golf course, I would say that Brooks considers Ricky literally part of his family, like a family member. I think he loves him like a brother. Mark Wall, who is Brooks's physio, I think he's the most valuable person on Brooks's team. I told Brooks that when he first turned pro and told him to hire Mark Wall. I said, you need to hire Mark Wall. And I said, he will be the most valuable person you have on your team. And the work that Mark Wall has done with Brooks's body, Dr. Ara Sapai, the work that Ara has done, Brooks got a new trainer this year, Andrew Cummings, that back room team They are the heroes of this. They are the unsung heroes. They have really transformed Brooks's body, got him back to where he can swing the golf club, got him back to where he's healthy, got him back to where he can work out. And I've said this a number of times recently. I don't think anyone realizes for Brooks how catastrophic the injuries were. And I think the Full Swing documentary, in his interviews, I think people have been surprised at him talking so candidly about how bad the injuries were. But they were almost game over for him. They were almost career over, because if his body wasn't going to be able to do what he needed it to do to swing the golf club, then as a golfer, as a player, you can't perform at the level that you're trying to perform at. So I think the team around Brooks is one of the best teams. He has a big team. Jeff Pierce, putting instructor, Pete Cowan, short game. I look after Full Swing. I mean, that's a lot of people. But that's, to me, that's another example of this narrative that a lot of people tried to push, that, you know, everybody was going to go to LIV and, you know, get the bag, get the money, and then just check out. I mean, Brooks has got like 7 people on his team, and he rehired me after us not talking to each other for 2 years. If you think that's him checking out, I've got news for you. It's not. I've never seen Brooks work harder than he's working right now. I think his game is moving in a direction that he can be one of those players that week in, week out, can have chances to win tournaments, can have chances to win majors. And if he gets on a run, he has a chance to dominate, because he has that type of game. And, you know, 5 majors, by the time you're 33, 3 PGAs and 2 US Opens, I think he has the game. I think we've seen that. He's had chances to win the Masters in 19 and this year. And I think the Open sets up really well for Brooks. He can move the golf ball a lot of different directions. His ball flight, he can change trajectories quite easily. He's quite comfortable doing that. So I think, you know, the conditions, if he doesn't get, you know, messed around by the draw and get the wrong side of the draw, which can happen to you at an Open championship, I fully expect him to have legit chances in the next 2 majors. And I think that, I think this was a statement win for Brooks, because after what happened at Augusta, where everybody was so used to seeing him close and him not closing, I think there were some questions, you know, which Brooks was going to show up on Sunday at Oak Hill. Was it going to be, you know, the 19 Brooks where he was number 1 in the world and, you know, multiple major champion, or was the Sunday at Augusta Brooks going to show up? And I think he showed everybody that I definitely think he's back. I definitely think that he has the type of game, and he's still, I mean, forget, Brooks is only early 30s, 33. He's exempt into every major and for the next 5 years, right? So he's exempt into all the majors until 2028. So I'm bad at math, but that's a lot of opportunities. And I think he is going to continue to have opportunities to win major championships. I couldn't say this to anyone, but Brooks lost the Masters to Tiger in 2019, double bogeyed 12, hit it in the water, and ended up, you know, just missing out. And Tiger won. And then he won 3-4 weeks afterwards at Bethpage. And I know Brooks. Those of us around him know him. I said to my wife, I said to a couple of guys I work with, Brooks is going to win the PGA. And, you know, I didn't say it publicly, but you could just tell. And you can tell when players are in a different space. You just can. It's like the room is a different temperature. And being around him, you can see the confidence. You can see the command that he has over his shots. You can see, you know, how good his body is. And I'd seen it before. I saw it in 19, where he, you know, had a chance to win the Masters and didn't get it done, was devastated by that, and then wanted to make a point and win the next major. And I definitely think that that was the mindset. I definitely think he was in that headspace to where he was like, okay, I should have won the Masters. I let that one slip away. and I'm going to go get the job done at the next one. And he did it.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The emotions that you go through when you watch players. I mean, you spend more time with these guys than you do with your own families. So when you spend time with them as much as, you know, those of us on the teams of these guys do, when they, you know, I walked to the, I was in the clubhouse, was doing some TV for Sky. You couldn't see anything. So it's just easier, and I knew I'd be able to watch everything, you know, every shot that Brooks hit. I knew I'd be able to watch it on TV. When he was going to the 18th hole, the 18th tee, I walked over, made the walk over to go stand behind the 18th green, and was getting, you know, when I saw that he'd hit the ball in the middle of the fairway on 18, because that is a difficult drive. You hit it in that bunker, you're struggling to make par. And, you know, you're filled with a lot of, you know, a lot of emotions, or at least I was. And, you know, you're watching a player that, you know, has been through so much, and, you know, to the hug that he gave Ricky Elliott on the 18th green. If you know Brooks, that's real. That's who he really is as a person. Brooks can sometimes kind of act like he's an alpha, kind of sometimes act like a tough guy, sometimes act like he doesn't care. But privately, he's a very, very different person. And those of us that are lucky enough to know him privately see a different side of him. I mean, obviously, the fans and everyone listening to the podcast, you guys don't know him. You don't know. We don't know any of these players, right? But when you're lucky enough, like I am, to know what they're really, really like, it's fun. It's amazing. And, you know, I'm just proud of him. You know, it takes a lot. You know, I put out a post on social that, you know, everybody gets knocked down, right? But it's what you do after you get knocked down that really, really matters. And I think this is an opportunity for Brooks to have a second phase of his career. And if he's healthy, and if he can stay healthy, which I think he can, and his golf continues to be where it is, I think over the next 5 years, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. And if he qualifies for the Ryder Cup team, automatically, because of the points, I don't know how you keep him off that team. And then hopefully, I actually want that to happen. I want Brooks to be on the Ryder Cup team, because then we've got players that play on LIV winning major championships. We've got players that play on LIV playing in the Ryder Cup, and it's golf. This isn't rocket science. We're curing cancer out here, folks. This is professional sports. These are athletes, and Brooks is an athlete, made the choice to go to LIV. I think a lot of people have tried to portray Brooks as a guy that wants to come back to the PGA Tour. I promise you, I've never heard Brooks mention that once. You know, he has probably been in more meetings for LIV and his team than any of the other team captains and team owners on LIV. So I haven't seen him do anything other than be fully invested in LIV. It was a decision he made. He has no animosity towards the PGA Tour. He doesn't. He told me he saw Jay Monahan at the PGA Champions dinner, said they spoke, said everything was fine. You know, when he played with Rory McIlroy at the Masters, everybody tries to say, oh, he's playing with Rory because he wants to come back to the PGA Tour. Yeah, he's playing with Rory because he normally plays a practice round a couple times a year with Rory at a major championship. They're two of the best players in the world. Why wouldn't they play together? They know each other well. They're members at the same club down in Jupiter. They live in the same town. They played the European Tour together. I think that moving forward, my hope is that we can just talk about the great golf that these players are playing, and enough with all of this LIV versus the PGA Tour. I mean, it's just, it's gotten so out of hand. And you know, I think a lot of people that were anti-LIV, you know, need to ask themselves, okay, now what? Now what? Because what's the narrative now? The narrative was they all took money, they were all committing career suicide, and they weren't going to be able to play because they only played 54 holes and it was an exhibition. And now you have those guys playing good at majors, and now you have one of those guys winning a major championship and has a legit chance to be on the Ryder Cup team and qualify for the Ryder Cup team, not even have to have a pick. He could qualify. And it'll be interesting to see what the powers that be do that. But I know a lot of people are going to not like this comment, but I think Brooks winning his fifth major was a good win for golf because we got to see some great golf. We got to see some great golf from Brooks, from Vic, Scottie Scheffler. Man, I mean, this guy just, he just doesn't go away. And I think the golf that, that Scottie Scheffler's playing is so good. And because I've been on LIV since June, I love coming back to the majors because I get to see a lot of these guys. I get to watch them hit golf balls. And to be on a driving range and get to watch Scottie Scheffler hit golf balls, I mean, he's definitely somebody I'll stop and watch. And Oak Hill, tough, tough golf course. And, you know, I definitely thought last week, some of the best players in the world stood up and, you know, went toe-to-toe with each other, and Brooks Koepka came out on top. I think U.S. Open, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see if this trend can continue, if these, if we can have these great players continue to play well. But, you know, right now, through two majors, John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, I'm definitely here for that. And I can't wait for the next two majors. And I'm excited to see it. And Brooks is back. And he's not going anywhere. So definitely, definitely proud of him. And excited to see what he can do. That's the eighth major I've been a part of. Got to watch Ernie Els win. I worked with Ernie when he won in 2012 at Lytham. Worked with DJ for his two majors. And now that's five with Brooks. And they are just, as a coach, they are so special to be a part of. And I am just so unbelievably lucky that the players that I work with entrust me to help them with their golf. And I say this all the time, I learn way more from them than I think they sometimes learn from me. So Brooks Koepka, 2023 PGA champion. Did anybody listening have that down last year at this time that Brooks was going to be the 2023? Yeah, I mean, I didn't, and I can't imagine a lot of other people did. But I think it's good. I think it's good for the game, and I'm looking forward to see what Brooks can do in the majors for the rest of the year. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We're going to continue to get good guests. We've got some great podcasts in the can. Coming, and we've got some great podcasts. If you're a new listener and you haven't gone back through, we've got a bunch. I'm going to get Brooks on. I'm going to let him die down from this. Definitely going to try and get Ricky Elliott on because I think, you know, the perspective of the caddies is always good. You know, I actually think it would really cool to get Brooks and Ricky on together and kind of talk, get them talking about that interaction that they have on the golf course and stuff, because I think that'd be really fascinating to listen. But thanks, everyone, for listening. Rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We'll see you next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.